You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to let us know who Jesus Christ is, so that we might have faith in Him. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in 2023, there was a lawyer in New York, and this lawyer decided that he was going to ease his load a little bit by preparing his one of his court documents via ChatGPT. And this became one of the sort of central kind of moments that the people understood something about how those large language models work, is that he put in, hey, I want you to kind of write my brief on this case. And what it came back with was a great sounding brief. It was a great sounding brief, except for the fact that it had made up several of the court cases that it referred to as it was looking back. That's now called a hallucination. It's something that AI will do. It's something that you've maybe even experienced as you've asked a large language model to do something. It's kind of solved its own problem. It's kind of said, oh, well, I know how to fix this. Maybe there's not a court case, so I'll just make a court case. The interesting thing was that Stephen even put in to his query to double check that everything was correct, and the large language model said, yeah, I double checked it, everything is correct. And so the hallucination continued until it got before a judge who said, I've never heard of this before. Let me look this up, and it didn't exist. It was a hallucination, and that sort of concept of a hallucination starts to get us into this question of what do we know, what can we know, and what have we been hallucinating ourselves? I don't know how many of you have been experimenting with peyote, but you don't necessarily need that in order to have certain kinds of hallucinations, in order to kind of figure out, okay, like, hey, this makes sense in my brain, and so this must be the truth. And that gives us a little bit of entrance into what's happening with Jesus talking to his disciples in this place called Caesarea Philippi. He's in this place called Caesarea Philippi, which has its own kind of like vibe to it. And he turns to his disciples and he says, well, you know, who are people saying that I am? And they come up with, well, dead people, which is a little bit interesting. Because we know that the disciples are good Jewish guys. They're not necessarily people that are, into reincarnation. But they're saying, well, we think that you have kind of the spirit of these people. We think that you have the spirit of the recently departed John the Baptist. We think that you have the spirit of Elijah. We think that you have the spirit of Jeremiah, which is really sort of, if anybody accuses you of being like Jeremiah, it's probably a dig. It's because he was like a sad sock. They threw him in a well. It was just not good. But they're like, hey, you kind of seem like that guy. And then Jesus ask them a further question. Well, who do you say that I am? And the whole reason that Jesus has to ask those questions is that we hallucinate. That we put together with the information that we have, we start to figure out, okay, who do I think Jesus is? Who do I think my roommate is? Who do I think my girlfriend is? Who do I think my parents are? And sometimes we can hallucinate the answers even to those things that are just so close in front of us. We can put together stuff that ends up, well, not really being the truth. And so there's this kind of question that pops up, like, okay, well, how do I know what I'm confessing is real? How do I know that when I say, hey, you know, I think my best friend is the best person in the whole wide world, how do I know that that's actually true and they're not going to stab me in the back in 2 months? And so what we do is we develop some tests. We develop some tests, sort of like Stephen was like, hey, double check the work. And we develop some of those tests in order to try to figure out, okay, like, is this real? In Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus and the disciples are, they've tried to figure out one of these tests. One of the things about Caesarea Philippi is that Caesarea Philippi has this very interesting cave. This cave that became the central focus of a lot of people trying to figure out if their religious ideas and their faith-based ideas were correct. There was this cave that had a river that flowed into it. And the idea was that, well, if you put a sacrifice into this river and you saw it go all the way to the back and then disappear, well, then whatever god you were worshiping, and there were several gods that inhabited this same spot, gods like the Greek god Pan, gods like Marduk, other gods that were kind of the area, and if that sacrifice went all the way back and got sucked down, you were like, woohoo! My God is real. He took my sacrifice. We are good, baby. But if you put that goat or whatever into the water, and for some reason the water wasn't cooperating with you that day, and that sucker came back, ooh. Well, maybe I was hallucinating my God. And that's a question, I think, that pops up for all of us. That question of, oh, am I hallucinating this God? Am I hallucinating the God who created the world just by speaking it into existence? Am I hallucinating that there was a Jewish rabbi about 2,000 years ago who was crucified on a cross and that he rose again from a tomb? Am I hallucinating that? Am I hallucinating that after he died and rose again from the tomb that he promised to send a Holy Spirit that was going to inhabit my heart, that was going to start changing me from the inside and getting me ready for this amazing experience called the resurrection? Those questions come up. Am I just hallucinating this? And so sometimes we start to kind of play this game of like testing our hallucinations. Sometimes we start to play this game of like making deals with God. Hey, God, if I get all the classes that I want, then I'll accept that you're real. Hey, God, if this person swipes right along with me, I'll accept that you are real. Hey, God, you know, you get into those sort of tests. The thing about those tests is that there's always going to be another test. There's always going to be another goat that you try to send down the river. There's always going to be something that you go, am I sure? Is this real? When I come to this altar, is it really Jesus' body and blood offered to me in with and under the elements of the bread and the wine? When I confess my sins, am I really getting God saying that all of the sins that I committed this week, that I committed this month, that I committed in my whole life, are those things really all wiped away? And we start to question ourselves. And we start to question ourselves for good reason. Because we know that we've made mistakes before. We've made mistakes about the people in our lives. We've made mistakes about the facts in our lives. I mean, if people didn't do that, we wouldn't have flat earthers. And so we know that we're untrustworthy on our own. And that's disconcerting. Throughout this entire sermon series, we've been asking this question, who is he? Who is Jesus? And as we ask that question, there's always a corollary question. The corollary question is always, well, okay, so this is who I confess Jesus to be. But in that, who am I? Who are we? And this set of readings that we're going over today, well, it kind of says, well, who am I? Who are we? Well, we're people that make mistakes. We're people that make mistakes about pretty big stuff. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes people are kind of like anti-theology. They're kind of like, I'm not a theologian. I just kind of like, I believe in Jesus generally, which, by the way, is a theology. You know, we try to get out of that. That's a part of, we're just afraid that we're going to hallucinate. So we just go, I'm not even going to try it. But the problem is that all of us are theologians. It's just that some of you are heretics. There's kind of this like, oh, we can get it wrong. We can get even the big stuff wrong. We can get wrong a lot of stuff, even who God is. And so we need something that's more sure than me telling me that this is real, telling me that I'm not hallucinating, telling me that this is something that I can rely upon, this is something that I can place my assurance in, this is something that I know isn't going to go wrong because I know me and I go wrong. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing when Peter comes up. Peter, y'all. Peter, the guy who just says stuff, Peter says the right answer. Who do you say that I am? Peter goes, I know it. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's awesome for Peter. But what's awesome for us is what Jesus says next. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. We'll talk about his name later if you want to. Because God has revealed this to you. Not because you came up with this on your own. Not because this is something that you've just kind of figured out. Peter doesn't figure stuff out real well. But because he can point to where God has revealed who he is. That there's something outside of Peter that is more reliable than Peter is. That Peter recognizes that there's something outside of himself that is more reliable than he is. There is something outside of you that is more reliable than you are. Something that is not prone to hallucinate. And that thing that is outside of you, that is more reliable than you, is God. That God has said that he is revealing himself to you outside of yourself. That he is revealing himself in his word. that he is revealing himself in his sacraments, in your baptism, in when you come for communion, that he's revealing something about himself in his body that is gathered together around him and is sharpening who you are. That what is happening there is that God is showing you something beyond yourself that you can trust in, that you can go to your Bible, you can open up your scriptures, you can talk to a Christian friend, you can go to Holy Communion, you can do those things because you know that they're outside of you and that they're reliable. In a world where not a whole lot is reliable, where there's not a lot of assurances, you're given an assurance that you're loved by the God who created the universe, that you have had your sins forgiven by his Son who came in order to be a sacrifice for your sins. And that's a beautiful assurance to have. It's a beautiful assurance that will lead you then to go out and to confess, just like Peter did, to say, I know something that is beyond myself. And you can do that like Peter. You can do that by going around and you can say, I know who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can also do that in that list of things that Paul came up with there, that list of things in that Romans passage, by simply acting out on your belief, by giving generously to the people around you, by leading people, by doing what God has created you to do, because you know that those things too are reliable. So that like the psalmist, like David in that psalm, you can go amongst the quote-unquote gods of this world and you can say, I know the real one. And I'm going to show you that by confessing that, by living my life in a way that connects with who that real God is. And so as you go out into this world, realize that this week you're going to have some hallucinations. You know, you're going to think that that prof tomorrow is awesome and you're going to find out differently. You're maybe even going to find out that the one that you think is awful is actually going to be not so bad. You're going to go out there, you're going to find people that you know that are exactly who they appear to be for a little while and then change. You're going to go out and into this world of non-assurances, but God has given you an assurance to hang on to, an assurance to hold on to, and that assurance is that he loves you so much that he sent his Son so that he could spend an eternity with you. And that assurance, especially if you confess it, is going to make all the difference in the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.